initialize sequence now.
Join the countdown. For actors, modeling, singers, songwriters, musicians, dancers, performers, and voiceovers from across the nation to across the world. Here with Dawn Reese on Hollywood Connections on TAM Talk Radio 106.1 FM.
Hi, this is Pam Tillis, and you're listening to Hollywood Connection with Dawn.
Hi, I'm Gina Lee Nolan, and you're listening to Hollywood Connections.
Hey, everyone. I'm Cassie Skirbo with Dawn, the lovely Dawn, and you're listening and watching Hollywood Connections.
Hey, what up, you guys? It's your girl, Vivica Fox. You are watching Hollywood Connections on TAM Talk Radio with Dawn. Little foxy thing. Enjoy.
Hi, you're listening to Hollywood Connections with Dawn Reese, and I'm Kathleen Gatti from General Hospital, Dr. Liesl Obrecht.
Hello, I'm Butch Patrick, and you're listening to Dawn Reese's TAM Talk Radio, Hollywood Connections.
John Schneider, you're listening to Dawn Reese on Hollywood Connections.
Listening to Hollywood Connections, I'm Kirstie Alley.
Hey, this is Jason Thompson from The Young and the Restless. You're listening to Hollywood Connections with Dawn Reese.
Hi, Squidward Tentacles here, reminding you about Hollywood Connections with Dawn Reese. If you want to know about voiceovers, this is where you need to tune in. You can hear me, too. Ha, ha, ha. Have a great day. Is this thing still on?
I am.
Hey, this is Brittany Sarpy from Young and the Restless, and you are listening to Dawn Reese Hollywood Connection.
Hey, this is your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, and you're listening to Hollywood Connections with Dawn Reese. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
Charlie Adler, and I'm shouting out, I guess that's a word, because I'll be on Hollywood Connections soon.
Welcome to Hollywood. What's your dream? Everybody comes here. This is Hollywood, land of dreams. Some dreams come true, some don't, but keep on dreaming. This is Hollywood, always time to dream, so keep on dreaming.
Hi, I'm Dawn Reese, Hollywood Connections, super special. I have an amazing guest that drove all the way from Miami, Florida, and he is here in Clearwater Beach, and you do not want to miss this show, and it's called For This Reason, his book, From Being a Drug Lord to Serving the Lord, and introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Marcos Santibanez.
That's right, and he's here with me, and we're going to be right back. Let's go to a couple commercials, and you do not want to miss his life story, I'll tell you, and then share this show because it'll touch somebody's life in your family. Trust me, we'll be right back.
Okay. Looking to cool off in the summer or turn up the heat in the winter? Then head over to Clearwater Ice Arena, Tampa Bay Skating Academy Oldsmar, or TBSA Countryside. With three locations in the Tampa Bay area, you can enjoy a wide range of hockey and figure skating activities and programs. We offer youth and adult pickup hockey and leagues, skate, shoot, freestyle, and public skating times throughout the day, so you will want to come back again and again. It's fun for the whole family. And don't forget to schedule your next birthday party or private event with us. Visit TampaBayIce.com for more information.
Breathe in that feeling of summer again at Ocean Air Himalayan Salt Caves in Orleans. Relax in your own private salt cave. Unwind in zero-gravity chairs surrounded by relaxing music and enjoy the natural therapy discovered in European salt mines for over 100 years. Detox your body and relax your mind at Ocean Air. 35204 U.S. Highway 19N in Palm Harbor or call 727-754-3979. Plan your escape today. Visit OceanAirHimalayanSaltCave.com.
Hi, I'm Dawn Reese, host of Hollywood Connections. I love to dine out and support our local restaurants, especially now. The District Advantage program lets me save 20% off my total bill anytime for 1 to 4 people at great restaurants like Clear Sky, Chiang Mai, Tequila's, Roxy's, Carol Lynn's Kitchen, Soul Sicilian, and 20 more eateries in the shops in the downtown Clearwater area. The subscription is only $20 for the entire year. That's over 120% off the total bill discount anytime at these great restaurants. It even includes the escape room and Clearwater Ferry. I made my $20 subscription back the first time I used District Advantage at Clear Sky on Cleveland, and I'm going back next week. Proceeds goes towards supporting the Downtown Clearwater Merchants Association. Quick and easy to download. Go to districtadvantages.com right now. Start saving today. This is even a money-back guarantee. You have nothing to lose. Go to districtadvantages.com right now.
This is the TAM Talk Radio Network.
And we're back. Before we start, I have a song for you, Marcus, and this is in my heart, and then we're going to come back and say a prayer. But it's definitely, if it's your life, and here we go. And it's one of my favorites as well, and I call this a miracle story. And so this is your song, and You can sing along with it. We'll be right back.
The cities and towns I've been in, from Boston to Denver, and every town in between.
Everyone looks the same.
The people, they all look the same.
Yes, I'll say.
Oh, only the names have been changed.
Yes, our names.
But now that I'm home again, I'll tell you what I believe. It's a miracle,
miracle.
A true blue.
Anyways, yes, that's your story. That's your song. And tell us, Mark, I mean, I'm looking and I read your book and I'm in awe. And I want to thank Keith Walker because they're making a motion picture out of this as well.
Yes, he's trying to bring the people aboard to see if they want to back it up and do a contract on the book.
Exactly.
My life story.
Now, I just want to start from the beginning here, and you're going to tell us your whole story, and just not tell us the book, because they have to buy the book to learn more what happened in your life, and it's $15. And before we start, where can they buy this book?
Well, they can call me at 786-693-0926, 786-693-0926. Is free shipping in the United States, and it's $15. All the proceeds is for a church that we're trying to build in Mexico, and the other churches is in Dominican Republic, where I preach in Santiago.
And so let's start from the beginning. Your book, it is called From Being a Drug Lord to Serving the Lord. And here you are. You've had everything in your life that people dream of. And, you know, people are like, I wish I could do this now, or I'll do this and I'll feel this. But you have lived the dream, and now God's really working in your life, and you have your own ministry, and the proceeds from your book go to your ministry as well.
Yes.
Can you start from, like, the beginning of when you started and what happened when you were a little boy? And just take us through your journey, because in your book, you take us through the journey from all different ages.
Right. Well, the main thing is how my mom was an orphan at 4 years old. She never had a mother and a father. And when we came from Cuba in 1971, 7 years later, her sister, her husband was in jail. He was an alcoholic. And he came out of jail because they told her that she was having an affair with a lady across the street. And she was taking Cuban coffee to a little old lady. And when he came out of jail, he stabbed her 33 times and killed my mom's sister right in front of the sidewalk.
Wow.
But 33 represents the age of Jesus Christ when he resurrected from the dead. And a lady came and spoke to my mom about the truth, the way, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through Jesus Christ. And those that are worried have a burden to come to God, and God will give you rest. And that's when Jesus Christ came into our family, because my mom was the first generation of being born again and serving God and consecrated her life to Christ. And then she used to take me and my brother to church, and my dad would go every once in a while. But then 25 years after that, my dad abandoned my mom for another woman. And then years after that, my brother graduated Liberty Baptist College in Virginia with Jerry Farwell, graduated Day North,
wow.
St.
Yep,
Thomas University. He was he was a teacher, never got a ticket, a model kid, and he walked away from God and got involved in drugs, and they shot him and they killed him on my birthday. But my life's story is just like the song you said, it's a miracle. You know, in the back of my card, it says, we accept men's testimony, but greater testimonies are God the Father, that he gave his son. And I'm a miracle of God's grace and power through the prayers of my mother. When I was a little boy, my mom used to take me to church, and my favorite verse was Philippians 4:13, I can do everything through Christ who gives me the strength.
Mm-hmm.
And at 6 years old, one time I kneeled down to next to my nightstand, and I said, God, I want to be the first one to die in my family. I don't want to suffer the death of my mom, my dad, and my brother. I want to die first. I don't want to go through that suffering. And I want you to use me one day big in your ministry. That was my second prayer. But when I was 7 years old, my dad sat me at a table, just how we are like this.
Mm-hmm.
And he put out the chair and he goes, look, when you go to school and the teachers let you go to the bathroom, you come to the house and use our bathroom. don't take nobody's junk. Mm-hmm. And he goes, and whoever messes with you in school, you break their mouth, their head, don't come crying to the house. I'm going to whoop you. And girls, I don't want you to have one. I want you to have four or five. Mm. Well, my sixth grade year, I bullied the whole school. And I ate behind the auditorium at my school. In my eighth grade, a teacher told me, Marcos, when the bell rings, stay in class. I want to give you something. And she gave me a shirt that says, Here Comes Trouble. That was my eighth grade. And then when we moved from Hialeah to Carroll City, which is called Miami Gardens, my high school was 97% black, 2% Hispanic, and 1% American. My first day of school, I think, or the first week, I fought and I got kicked out. I came back, I fought, I got kicked out, and I came back and I fought and I got kicked out. I was raised like a pit bull. But my teachers, they saw that I was a good baseball player like my brother. They said, look, don't come to class. I'll give you a C so you can graduate. And that's exactly what I did. We won state champs. And at 18 years old, a family member introduced me to cocaine. And at 18 years old, I was taking cocaine from Miami to New York. And I met this Dominican.
At 18, wow. They're just, wow, okay.
I was just a young boy.
Yeah.
And I met this Dominican guy, and his best friend was this Puerto Rican guy. And I didn't know that back there, cocaine was not even popular. It was all heroin. And the nephew of the young guy of the Dominican friend happened to be the police chief of police in Puerto Rico, and his name was Bobby. And we went to Puerto Rico and we started selling cocaine. And I said, wow, this is crazy. And Puerto Rico back then, it was called La Perla. It was all heroin addictors. So we didn't do that good with the cocaine. So we went back to New York and we opened a candy store. And that's where I blew up. We had two pool tables in the middle. I can see it right now how we had it. We had a half-inch epoxy glass where we had the sodas, the chips, and then right in the middle, we had two pool tables, and right on each side from wall to wall, we had pinball machines, and those candy called Jawbreakers. We were selling dime bags of cocaine, and I'm the guy that came out with that name, Speedball. We were making $15,000 every 2 weeks at 18 years old, 18 and a half, almost 19 years old. And after a year being there selling drugs in Puerto Rico.
But you didn't know God yet, because in the book, we're not there yet, right?
No, I didn't know God. And then I stopped selling drugs in Puerto Rico, and we just maintained in that store because of the profit that was given us. Mm-hmm. And then after a year there, I made so much money, I said, man, why am I selling drugs in New York and in Puerto Rico when I grew up in Carroll City in a black neighborhood? Mm-hmm. And I go, you know what? I missed my mom. And I left everything when I got back to Miami. That's where I got introduced to the cartels of Medellin and three or four Colombians. They were supplying me. I had like four Colombians supplying the distribution of the cartel. Because it says here, the cocaine Cuban cartel. I had built already through this friend of mine named Lloyd and Jeffrey, Jed. I was introduced to so many friends that we had 15th Ave in Carroll City, we're distributing drugs there. The Triangle in Opa-locka, the Bajas in Atlanta, Georgia, McNabb, Fulton, Decap, and we had St. Petersburg locked down. And shipment of drugs were coming every week. Back in the days, Miami was known for the drugs. Mm-hmm. And at 18, 19 years old, I just blew up.
Well, you know, and also reading, I'm going to take you back in your school, where there was a situation where, when she said, here comes trouble. Was that the same teacher that you were blamed for vandalizing her car?
Yes.
Okay.
No.
That
was a different teacher.
You didn't do that.
No, I didn't do that. Everybody knew me in the school. And what happened is that we used to get free lunch back then. You were low income, because we just came out of Cuba. And I used to skip the line, and nobody could tell me nothing because I already had a name even in junior high. So a teacher saw me, skipped everybody, get my tray. She goes, what are you doing? Get in the back of the line. And she goes, no, I'm not getting in the back of the line. She goes, give me that tray. She took the tray from me, and I go, you're going to regret this. And that same day, they vandalized her car.
And they thought it was you.
And they thought it was me, right. And the cops came, and my mom came, and That was the first time I did not do anything, and I got blamed for it, put it this way.
Wow. Well, you know, you asked me before we started the show, and we're going to say a prayer here at 6:30, just for people that are going through something or they have a family member. Trust me, I've had family members go through a situation, and if it's not a praying mother or a grandmother that is saving their life, I'm talking on my knees praying for them. And I'll tell you, God has come through 10 times more than I even thought he would of the blessings. Mm-hmm. And so, but you know, you asked me, and it was, number one was your mom's a praying mom, and that's she right. kept you, and you had so many miracles in this book, so many things that
God's grace,
like landmines that you jumped, yeah, God's grace over everything. Truly amazing. And then so here you are now. Can I jump over, because I have a little note here.
Yes.
The day was October 9th, 1995. On that day, the transformation of my life began. What happened to me on October 9th, 1995 was mind-altering and life-changing. And I'm getting shivers from that. From that day forward, I would never be the same again. But I will tell you more about this in a later chapter, which is back in the chapter. And so your life changed so radically. Tell us what happened. And then, and also, you've been on Trinity Broadcasting Network, TBN. You know, you've been all in many different radio stations and all over the news.
Right. Yeah. When I gave my life to Christ, I gave it on 5 radio stations, 2 television stations, and TBN. I went to Cuba, I went to Venezuela, Dominican Republic. And imagine being Cuban, 30 years old. I even went to Medellin in Colombia, where Pablo Escobar came out, and I gave my testimony there in 3 or 4 churches how Jesus Christ had changed.
I will tell you, Medellin is so gorgeous.
Sure.
I used to fly in, and my eyes would just look over the mountains, and I'm talking, if you've never been to Medellin.
Medellin, yeah.
Wow.
My friends are there, and we're still in contact, and he shows me pictures of the mountains and the things he's got. It's beautiful.
That's amazing. So that's all what happened through that time.
Well, no. What happened was that every Wednesday I used to send 80 kilos to St. Petersburg and 180 kilos to Atlanta, Georgia.
How did you send? I mean, it's in the book, but
everybody knows. They cut a lot of things of the book, but I used to have some Colombians that they used to charge me like $5,000, $7,000, $10,000, and they used to make compartments on our cars.
Mm-hmm.
To put the kilos when my friends would take them up north.
Wow.
So my dad used to tell me, son, one day they're gonna catch you, and the key, like the key of the house, and when you open your house, the key of the jail cell, they're gonna make it out of chocolate. They're gonna swallow. You're never gonna come out. So every Wednesday, I was selling 10 kilos a day in Carroll City, just mm-hmm. in Carroll City. That's 300 kilos a month,
mm-hmm.
and plus what I was sending to Atlanta, Georgia, and St. Petersburg. And I didn't know what to do. I was just like, you know, I would look at money and say, is this ever going to run out? And I would look at the mirrors in my car and I say, man, I'm crazy, the things I'm doing. Because it was every day, every week.
Mm-hmm.
So every week I would disappear for 3 days using cocaine. Because my dad did, one day they're going to make that key out of chocolate. You're never going to come out if you get busted.
I had a friend, a very good friend, overdose in Phoenix, Arizona, and a married man and a beautiful wife. And he went into a hotel room and he died from an overdose. So, yeah, wow.
So that day I met 4 Canadians. They were Christians. Don't ever stop.
Wait, how did you meet them? It's in the book.
Well, I admitted to my ex, the mother of my child, that I have 5 girlfriends besides her, and we got into a fight inside the room, argument, and I ran inside the bathroom, and she started kicking the door, and I go, oh, why did I tell her? I go, hey, let's get out of here. Let's go talk by the pool. And I heard them calling her name, Les. And I went over there. When I get to the water, I see 4 guys in the water, and when I look back, she wasn't there, and I ran back. And I told her, look, if I can't let you go. I love you. Let's go see who those guys are.
Mm-hmm.
And then some Canadians comes, and they walked to the back of the hotel. And I told her, look, when I married you, we stayed in every hotel on the beach because I didn't want nobody to tell me I didn't stay in that hotel.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much money and power we had.
Mm-hmm.
But I never stayed in that hotel because it was a timeshare. And we followed the Canadians. And the guy heard of the fence. And then the other guy jumped, and he picked up the girl. And when I went to jump, the mother of my child opened the door. And I look at the guy like saying, this guy's big for nothing. The door's open. He jumped. And he goes, there's a miracle here. And I go, I don't believe in miracles. He goes, yeah, there's a miracle here. And I go, why do you keep saying that? He goes, because every day at 5, 6 o'clock, when we come from the hotel to the ocean, and we come back at 9 o'clock, this is a lock here, and there's no lock. And the Bible said, well, God opens the door, no one can shut it. When he shuts it, no one can open it. And I didn't know that God there was intervening. yes. in my life through prayers of my mother, and these Canadians on the honeymoon were going to be the people.
Right, God's timing just got you right there. Wow. And tell everybody what they said to you.
Well, I told them, look, man, I don't believe in God. And he goes, you believe in Jesus Christ? And I said, yeah. And the guy just walked like 10 feet, kneeled down to the ground, and he came crying. He was 6'9". And I go, look, man, I'm from Canada. I was a Muslim, my family, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And my family took my clothes, property, and threw me naked in the street.
Wait, you were a Muslim?
No, him.
No, him. Him. Right, okay. Yeah,
and his family stripped him of everything and threw him naked. He goes, this is my wife, Sherlyn, and this is my friend, Steve, and I'm here on my honeymoon. And I go, look, man, I don't know what you're talking about, man. I just said Jesus Christ because I believe in him. But I'm one of the biggest drug kingpins in the United States. I'm a multimillionaire. Mm-hmm. I got everything a man wants. I showed him my $10,000 or $20,000 chain, my Rolex. And I go, look, man, I got everything, man. I ski behind President Ford's house in Arrowhead, Colorado. I got monkeys, racing boats, jet skis. I got everything a man wants here. Mm-hmm. But I'm empty inside. This is my wife, and I got five girlfriends besides her. And he goes, why don't you come upstairs and let me read you the Bible? And I go, come on, let's go.
Could you feel God tugging at your heart when you didn't know God at that point?
No. Imagine, I still had the tension of the fighting with my the mother of my child. Right. My child wasn't born back then. And then I was thinking about the money that I had. I had like $60,000, $80,000 in the hotel. And I was coming off the high of drugs for 3 days. And I'm just following this guy because I just told this guy, Jesus Christ. Because, I believe in Jesus Christ.
Right.
So when we go up there, I didn't know, but there was the mother of my child goes in, and his wife goes in, the other guy goes in, and he goes in. I look, make sure there's nobody. I thought, because you always get paranoid that the DA is going to get you. You know, mm-hmm. you don't ever know if they're going to entrap you. So when I see nobody in the halls, I walk in, and there was a girl on a sofa by like this praying. She goes, "Hey, aren't you the other guy that came from the other hotel to the shore and ran away?" And I go, what? He goes, yeah. He goes, we're singing hallelujah, and we thought we sang so bad that you ran away, and the Holy Spirit of God told me to come here and pray for you. And I tell her, what?
Look, wow.
I'm going to tell you the same thing I told your friends. The only reason I'm here, because look, I'm one of the biggest drug lords here in the United States. I'm a multimillionaire. I'm Cuban. I got everything a man wants. This is my wife, and I got five girlfriends besides her. Mm. And then right then, the mother of my child, she ran outside the door. He opens the Bible and says, thou should not commit adultery. And right then, I got convicted in my heart. And I said, look, I know what I got to do. Mm-hmm. And I kneeled down and I said, Jesus Christ, I know you're God. I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me for my sins. And Father, I know in my heart you raised your son from the dead. I surrender my heart and my life to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke the devil, the demons, and all your spirit of cocaine. Amen. And when I got up from the ground, it was like I was speaking like through a hollow tube. And I said, wow, that's weird. And when I got up, I go, I feel peace. What's going on? The guy put his hand on my shoulder and prayed. And he goes, man, God called you to preach. Then I tell him, look, I forgot to tell you, man, my mom's a Christian.
Yep.
And he goes, call her. And I call my mom. She goes, thank you. I go, mima, me entregué a Cristo. Mom, I gave my life to Christ. And my mom cried, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
That's what a mom does. I'll tell you, that's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears and prayers.
And she started crying, thinking, God, she goes, son, today is Sunday, because it was Monday morning. Sunday, a sister in Christ for church saw me with the bags in my eyes and asked me, why do I got the bags? She goes, because Margo's out there using cocaine for 3 days again, lost. And that day, my mom and two sisters in Christ prayed. And that same day, God delivered me and brought these Canadians into my life. And God called me to preach at 33 years old.
Was that before? Okay, because I'm reading over here from chapter 13, Busted. Was that before that happened, that you had met the guys from Canada?
When I got busted?
Well, it says chapter 15.
Well, no, that's when I got busted. That was when I was... I was probably like 25 years old.
Okay, that's...
I had a cigarette racing boat.
Okay.
I had a 1941 Chevy with suicide doors that opened like that.
Right.
And I had a Mercedes 1000 with AMG. And I had two quads, two jet skis at my mom's house. I had like $500,000 just in
toys. Did your mom exactly know all this was going on?
Okay. Yeah, because I had this behind her house. But I would tell her those are my friend's stuff and that they were paying me to keep it there. Right. I would lie to my mom. I was never going to tell her I was selling drugs. So then when I come inside her house one day, she grabs my legs like a headlock, and she just won't let me go. And she's crying and crying and crying and crying. And I'm trying to pull my leg out. Imagine, I had two cell phones, mm-hmm. one for my black friends and my Colombians, and then one for my mom. And then my phone did stop ringing. And then she won't let me go. And I go, Mom, what's going on? And when she looks up, her makeup is running down, crying with tears. And I look at her, I go, Mom, what's going on? She goes, Son, I know you sell drugs. I know you use drugs. If you love me, go to a pastor's house in Oklahoma. He's there to help you. He's
That's
from
right.
my church. I go, Mom, because I love you, I'll do it, Mom. And I called the pastor, and his name was Oscar. I go, Oscar, look, I'm willing to go out there. My mom told me you help me. He goes, yeah, we're ready to look for an apartment for you. It's $315. A one bedroom. It's got washer and dryer. And I said, look, I'll send one of my guys to send $4,000 to Western Union for the whole year. Mm-hmm. I'm going to call Allied Company tomorrow to move your car, everything. And in 3 days, Allied came and moved everything to Oklahoma. And when I got there, everything was ready, the bed, everything.
But there's more miracles that happened in Oklahoma, too.
Yeah, Norman. I was
exactly.
Actually, I was the only Cuban in Oklahoma back then, and I learned how to two-steps. And if you didn't have a horse, you couldn't go out with a girl.
Right.
So I learned that. Actually, I named Oklahoma. Back in the day, that's when Guns N' Roses came out. This is the paradise where the grass is green and the girls are pretty, because all the girls at OU were blonde and blue eyes where I lived in.
Well, you also, you have a story of even how you met your wife.
My wife?
Yes.
Yes, that's, look, the Bible said that all things work for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to God's purpose. And the Bible said it's not good for a man to be alone. And the Bible said that God is a spirit. But God mm-hmm. is love.
Mm-hmm.
So God is a spirit and God is love. But when the Bible said it's not good for men to be alone, right? He said, I created a woman to be your helper.
Mm-hmm.
Because two people cannot walk together unless they fall. So when somebody falls, she's your helper, your spirit to lift you up. So when I was 22 years old, I never forget. It's in the book.
Yep.
By the Colombians law, this is how a real drug kingpin and drug dealers at a high quality work. I always had to have $60 in rolls of quarters in every car that I drove. Even though I had cell phones,
mm-hmm.
I used to have that no matter what. Because when they called me from Colombia, I couldn't use my cell phone. I had to use a pay phone and call. So one day, I was 22 years old. Dolly, she was my high school sweetheart.
Mm-hmm.
And I broke up with her because she didn't play my guitar. Then I broke up with her when I was 22, when I was 24, when I was 26. But what happened is when I was 22 years old, they called me from Colombia, and I went to put a quarter, the first quarter, on the payphone. And you know those little stick that you pushed out to get your change?
Right.
There was a little book, a little track that talked about God, and I read it. And I said, man, am I so lost? I used to pass this out from door to door in my apartment complex with my mom. And I looked at her, and I went like this. I waved to her, and I got put my hand in my pocket, because I always had like $5,000 in my pockets and some more in my car just in case I had to, you know, flee. And I gave her $100, and I go, look, call a cab. If I love you, one day I'll call you. And she left. And
yep.
I went back to the hotel. There was a guy named Tony Long. He used to work for Channel 10. He wanted to make a movie back in the days, mm-hmm. The Cocaine Cuban Cowboys. He wanted to get in the top of the building. And I said, Tony, you're crazy, man, because he knew who I was.
Yeah.
And then little did you know that 7 years later, today, almost 8 years, going to be in August, I met a friend of ours from high school named Laura in Miami Lakes in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
I just came out of church. And she saw me, hey, Marco. She gave me a kiss, and she goes, I go, hey, where's Dolly? And she goes, oh, she doesn't live in Orlando anymore. She lives in West Palm Beach. And I go, call her. And mm-hmm. she called her, but Dolly didn't pick up because she was at a company Christmas meeting, and she's the manager. Well, the next day she picked mm-hmm. up, and she goes, hey, your boyfriend's looking for you. She goes, I don't have a boyfriend. She goes, yeah, your boyfriend's looking for you. She goes, I don't have a boyfriend. She goes, yeah, Marcos. And she goes, Marcos? She goes, Marcos who? Marcos Santibana? She goes, no, I'm not going to call him. She goes, yeah, he told me to call you. So she said, no. And then I called Laura. She goes, she's not going to call you. Tell her, if she don't call me in an hour, I'll be in her job because she know I have power. Fine. She called me and did it, you know, that I've never been so blessed.
Mm-hmm.
First, my spiritual life. My son is a blessing from God. My mom praying for me.
Yep.
And a blessing to have Dolly be my wife, a spiritual woman, a woman after God's heart.
And tell everybody how long you've been married.
We've been married for 7 years, going to 8 years.
That's amazing. That's amazing. We're gonna play more of that Little Miracle song, and I'm gonna switch cameras here real quick, and we're gonna come back and just talk more about his book and his life and what he's doing in the ministry, and you don't want to miss this. So we'll be right back. Hollywood Connection special. It is 6:30 Clearwater Beach time, and Marcus, tell everybody, I want to say your last name correctly,
Santibanez.
And so, just real quick, you were born in Havana, Cuba. You came to the United States at the age of 7 with your mother and father and brother Julio. You grew up in the middle-class neighborhood of Hialeah, Florida, and later relocated to Carroll City, Florida, which is now Miami Gardens. And your bio is amazing. At the age of 18, Marcus was introduced to the drug street life. You had more pull towards cocaine, and you were a street hustler. There's more to this man than you know, because his book is called For the Reason From Being a Drug Lord to Serving the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, God is shining all over you.
Thank you.
People can say they're a Christian and they walk the walk and they don't talk the talk. But I want to say, when you look at somebody and they say they're a Christian and you can see it all over their face, their body, you emanate of God's glory all over you. So, and I want to thank you for being here, from driving all the way. I know this is very emotional for me, because I'm listening to your story, and I've had different situations. I knew family members that got into situations, and I'll tell you, and I would always wait for a phone call, and I would just see if somebody was, you know, gone. And here you are, that you could have been dead so many different times, and God's grace over your life opened so many opportunities, and God just says, serve me. And the purpose of us being on this earth is to bring more people to God.
Amen.
And what would you like to say, a prayer for everybody? Just something from your heart, or whatever God leads you to say on the second half hour.
Okay, there's a verse in Acts chapter 1, verse 24, and it says, "And they praise God because of me." And that was Apostle Paul. He was persecuted of the church, and when the church heard that he was preaching the word of God, they said, "Hey, isn't he the one that was persecuting the believers and killing them?" And when they heard him preach, people were praising God because of him. The most beautiful thing is his testimony. Other people were praising God because of him.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to tell people one thing. God cannot be fooled. God cannot be mocked. What a man sold, a man reaped. If you would have told me to leave my black friends and my Colombians, I would have told you, you're crazy. And money, power, fame. But the peace and the love that God gives, nothing else can give it. And I'm an evangelist, a preacher, and a chaplain. And I made this book, and it's called For This Reason, because of one purpose. The Bible says there's a trustworthy acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for this reason, the grace of God came upon my life so all the sinners might come to know Jesus Christ. The Bible says freely give was freely was given. And there's nothing better than to share the most beautiful love that surpasses all understanding, and that is the love of God. That if a man is not born again, he cannot see and cannot enter and be with God. And my life story is like I tell you, my mom was an orphan. They stabbed his sister. My dad left her, and they shot my brother. I could have been dead in jail, oldest running from the law. As a matter of fact, in 1992, I even did a video with the Grammy singer, John Sakata.
I was going to bring that up next. Yes, you're in a video.
And they didn't even know I was a big drug kingpin. Wow. But there's a company called Motion Neon, and they had my motorcycle sponsored in World Wheels magazines, and they called me to make the video. And then I had the Columbia telling me, we don't want you to make that video. I was 28 years old, something like that. And I said, what do you mean? You're crazy. I'm going to make it. You don't need to expose yourself on TV. You're crazy. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make it. Don't worry about it. I'm going to make it.
Right.
And the song is called by John Secada, An Angel. Angel.
Angel.
And it's called An Angel, a Spirit That Won't Let Go. God's spirit was not letting me go from anything happened for one purpose. Thomas was one of God's disciples. And when Jesus, he said, if I don't see him, I don't believe. And Jesus had to come before him and show him the wounds of his hand. And he says, my Lord and my God. And Jesus says, blessed are those that don't see and believe. Now, when you see a guy like me, see, many are called, but few are chosen. And I was the one chosen because I could have been dead in jail, overdose, running from the law. And you can say, what happened? Did it shoot you? Did you go to jail? Did you overdose? Did you run from the law? No, nothing happened. You know what happened? It's just like when you saw me probably sit in this chair, I didn't check the legs. And when I start my car, I don't check the battery or the gas. The Bible said that we're children of God. It's by grace. It's by faith. It's not by works, so no one can boast. And that faith was planted in me as a little boy.
Yep.
And you know where the cartels are in the union? It's funny. When we used to eat at a certain restaurant, a Colombian restaurant in Miami, that was always our place to sit. Actually, I was the only Cuban that would go there because it was all Colombians. Mm-hmm. And we're going to eat. I used to tell them in Spanish, no me toque la comida y vamos a morar. Don't touch your food. We're going to pray. Mm-hmm. And they used to tell me, tú estás más perdido que un buscado. You're more lost than someone to be found. And I used to say, hey, what I do and what you're doing got nothing to do that Jesus Christ died for me on the cross. And I used to bow my head and pray. And he went on with my black friends in the clubs. And we're going to eat lobster or shrimp or whatever. My nigga, don't touch your food. We're going to pray.
Right.
And he's a crazy brother. And you know, I used to bow and pray. And you know what? The most beautiful thing you can do today is pray and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And God can change your life, come inside of you, and make you a new creation.
Well, you have to buy this book, everybody that's listening. If you have a question, you can call. Give your number.
786-693-0926. 786-693-0926. It's $15. All the proceeds go to Dominican Republic, Mexico, and free shipping in the United States.
Right. And then this is always on. You can watch if you're driving. Of course, you're going to the beautiful beaches of Clearwater to see our sunsets. You can watch it on the Tantalk Radio Network tonight when you get home as well. And you can write that down. And then also, what is important in the book, which it really means a lot to me, is that the person who does not have the Holy Spirit of God does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but consider them foolishness. He cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says. So the important thing is a lot of people will call themselves Christians. They don't walk the walk or talk the walk. And explain why the Holy Spirit, if they don't know the Holy Spirit, how do you get the Holy Spirit for them?
Well, the Bible said in Luke 11:31, I think it says, or 13, it says, if we be in evil, know how to give good gifts to our children when they ask us, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Mm-hmm.
You see, God is a spirit, but God is love. So God loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes should not perish. But the Bible said that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So what happened is, like, see, when Jesus came to earth, he came through a virgin, not a man and a woman having a sexual relationship, because now he would have been like me and you. Mm-hmm. He would have been a sinner. So God came through a spirit. And Mary says, how is it that I'm going to give birth? He goes, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will give birth. In the same way with you and me. When the Holy Spirit of God comes in you, you're going to give birth of a new life of being a Christian, of Christ living inside of you, making you a new creation. And the only way is that is like through the cross. If the Bible said that Jesus destroyed, trampled over all power, all darkness, authority through the cross, the only way you can do it is through the cross. And that's why the Bible said that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Now, the Bible said those that are led by the Spirit are sons of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a mannequin. You go to the mall and you see they got clothes and they got glasses. But when you touch it's a mannequin, it got no life.
Right.
The Bible said he who has Christ has life. He that doesn't have Christ has no life. See, God is a spirit. And when you accept Jesus Christ, because Jesus says no one can come to me unless the Father draws him.
Right.
So the Father's got to draw you. The second thing is Jesus says, hey, it's for your good, Don and Marcos, because mm-hmm. when I'm dying, I raise up. The Holy Spirit's going to come to earth to convict a man of sin and teach him the truth. So what does the Father do? He draws you. What does the Holy Spirit do? Convict you. And then what do you only do? You say, Jesus, forgive me. I am a sinner. I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me for my sins. And Father, I know in my heart you raised your Son from the dead. And now if the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin, then there's true repentance mm-hmm. because you can say it out of because you're in jail, because your wife left you. You can say it out of grief. But if there's no conviction, there won't be no repentance and no salvation.
Yeah, that's the truth right here. You're giving it right from the Bible verses of we have our Bible here too as well in the studio.
You know, I always use this demonstration. Let's say this card is mine. I say, here, Don, I want to let you have it. Grab it.
Right.
Why is it yours?
Why is it mine? Because you gave it to me.
No, because you received it.
I received it, yes.
Not because I gave it to you.
No.
See, the Bible said those who receive him and believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. The Bible said those who receive him are not condemned. But if you don't receive him, the Bible said you stand condemned.
Ah, there you go.
So it's by receiving Jesus Christ.
Right. And that's important because a lot of people these days right now with everything that's going on in the world, you know, and I'm reading Revelations more and more every day. And, you know, can we go into that as well? Like with Revelations going this time, do you see anything like happening or in your spirit?
Well, you can see it always.
It's like in front of our eyes.
Just by reading the Bible. The Bible said that in the later days, mm-hmm. the main thing is man's worst enemy is going to be he of his own household. The household will not be together. Because where God is love, and God holds all things, right?
Right.
So when you take God off, there's destruction. Okay, the next thing the Bible said, in the latter days, the love of most will run cold. There will be no love. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of this, lovers of that. Children will be disobedient to their parents. And then the Bible said the faith of most will run cold. So all this has to happen. And the Bible said there will mm-hmm. be terrible times in the last days. And now if you want to see a sign of how we're living, even in Matthew chapter 24, it says, because of the elect, the Bible said that God will show it in the days. Mm-hmm. Because if not, the Christians will all fall, so the days will be shortened. And that's, look how fast we're going. We're already, what, in April?
Yeah. Really
that's
fast.
A sign that the Bible said there will be famine, there will be earthquake, there will be terrible times, there will be a nation against nation. Because of the elect, the days will be shortened. God's got to cut the days.
No, my mother always, because I had praying parents and they prayed for a lot of people. And, you know, my mom would always tell me, when you really have God in your life and it shows and you are reading the Bible, you're finding a good faith-based church. What is your thought on that?
Well, you know, I'm glad you're saying that because, you know, God is a spirit, you know, and the words of God are holy. They're spiritual. There's four things that are holy. Mm-hmm. People think there's three, but there's four. Actually, it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, and the Holy, and the Word of God. They're spiritual. Mm-hmm. That's why a man without the Spirit cannot accept it, because they're holy, they're spiritual. So if you hear any gospel that is not preached, the Bible even says, that is not on Christ Jesus, there's no gospel at all. So don't accept it, because mm-hmm. everything else, you accept the evil one. Mm-hmm. The thing is that you are being fed and that you're growing on your spiritual salvation. That when you go to church, you say, wow, what he said, something that I didn't know, mm-hmm. and something that he taught me. Why? Because God's the one that gives gifts. He gives you a gift to serve, to be a teacher, to be a prophet, to be an evangelist, to be a preacher, and to be a pastor. Mm-hmm. So what happens is, by me reading the Word of God and being in the Spirit of God, God's going to reveal through the Word of God, a message that when I preach it,
right.
He's going to feed the flocks, which is the church, which is you are the church, not the building.
Right.
The kingdom of God is us. We're the church. We are the people of God, the holy nation, the treasure possession of God. So now, when God reveals the message mm-hmm. to me and I preach it, it's like you feeding baby food to a baby.
Right.
Now he's going to grow.
Right. Because and that's important. A lot of people, well, I don't need to go to church. I can go out to the ocean. I can go out to the beach, and I have my me time. But I'll tell you, we have a really good church if you're looking for one called beaminghope.org. And there's a women's ministry as well, and they have their prayer meetings on Wednesday nights. And there's so much that our Pastor Joe gives, and you're getting fed, you know, from church. People are like, well, why do you need to go to church? Well, because I need to get fed. And one day, last week, and I haven't been for like 3 weeks because I've been busy, but I get to church, and I felt like I'm being pushed. Like, God is just waking me up. And like, everything was going wrong that morning, but I'm like, I'm going.
Well, I'll tell you this way. If Jesus Christ right now is near my car, I guarantee you I will not be here.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be near my car because he's there.
Mm-hmm.
On Sunday morning, the church is Christ, I'm going to be there.
Yeah. That's important because a lot of these times now they're like, well, I don't want to go to church because of this and the COVID and all this stuff going on.
The Bible says don't give up meeting together like most have in common
exactly.
And are suffering.
Yeah,
you can't give up a meeting together. We're the house of God, which is the house of prayer.
Yep.
And iron sharpens iron, and I think the best thing we do is worship God and hear the message that God has through the pastor.
Well, I even have, I mean, for all of the listeners out there, I have such a miracle story. Of course, my husband's a sailor, and we have to talk about our real quick, Sunkist Charters will be ready in 3 weeks. So we are taking charters out of the Gulf of Mexico. You know, and my husband is an amazing hard worker. He's a painter, but, you know, his family, I would say family curses into drinking vodka. And so for a couple of years, I would pray over him at night. And I just asked God to release, you know, this alcohol, and he liked to have his drink when he came home. He has not had a drop of vodka in 350 days. And Amen. Praise God, because I'll tell you, when do you talk about praying moms and praying over people? Do you pray over people as well?
Yes. I want to tell people out here that are listening. There's a story that Jesus Christ was at a house, and the house was so overwhelmed with people. There was people too crowded inside and outside. People couldn't get in. And there was a guy that was crippled, and he had four friends, and they went through the side of the house. They climbed them up, broke the roof, and put him down to Jesus, and Jesus healed them. The main thing is that guy had to let himself be carried by his what? By his friends. Well, I'm going to tell you, what saved that guy was his friends bringing him to Jesus. The best thing you and I could do is pray and bring someone to God by prayer.
Exactly. And you can, I mean, there's so many fun things that God has
your
given
husband,
us to enjoy.
Your son,
exactly.
Your neighbor. Prayer. Prayer without ceasing, the Bible says.
Exactly. And then every morning, you know, like our pastor said, put on some Christian music in the house. It'll make your house more, you know, if anybody's upset or you put your music on in the morning.
Well, the Bible said whether you eat or you drink or anything you do it to glorify God. So the main thing you want to do inside you is glorify God and fill your spiritual life.
Right.
So the inner self of you be filled with the glory of God.
Wow. I have to send this show over to Pastor Joe. I mean, I'm sure that he'd love to have you as a guest speaker at our church.
Well, that's what I do. I preach different churches. I give my testimony, but I'm a preacher, an evangelist, and a chaplain.
And tell everybody how many years now that you...
For 25 years.
25 years.
And I'm gonna suggest everything. I'm going to suggest this thing that God put in my heart. There's three balloons. There's one that you looked at, and it's all ruggly, and it has no air. That's an unbeliever. There's one balloon that you fill it up, you tie it, it's got helium, and it leaves. That's the one that come into church and they leave. But there's one balloon that has a little hole. And you know what that little hole stands for? That you always got to fill it up, because if not it goes, you always got to be filled with the Word of God.
Very important, because a lot of people don't get it. They just want to keep running their lives. And to this day, it's getting up. You know, my mother always said, we have like 7 minutes left. And she'd say, Dawn, if you can't sleep, that means God's waking you up. You got to pray for somebody. Pray for somebody in your family. And there are times, of course, you know, you cannot sleep and you wake up and you're like, okay, God, who do I have to pray for? What am I praying for today? Does that happen to you?
Yeah, sometimes a lot. 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, I can't go to sleep. I have to go to my prayer room and pray. And
right.
And I got to take my little dog because he's got to go wherever I go, because now he'll scratch the door. But it happens a lot.
You know, and that's the thing is also, you know, the War Room movie. That's another one where they talked about the prayer room, and you have a prayer room. Go someplace and pray that you have your little spot. And I always light a candle, and I'm reading my word in the morning, and I'm getting more and more. My spirit is growing. And even if you have a dream, and your dream comes with demonic, I've had that happen. And if I can say in the name of Jesus in my dream, that means my prayer life is getting stronger and stronger. And if I see that I'm failing where I'm not getting enough words sometimes, it was before, I'd all also in my dream, you could hear like you're trying to get the word out, and it's God saying, no, you need to get more filled with the Holy Spirit.
Right. I think that our lives basically, the Bible said the tongue's got life for power and death, and everything that that you say, you can eat from it. I want to say before we close that if you think it's something bad or anything, just say Jesus and talk to God, and that will come out. I want to thank you for having me here.
Oh, we're still good. We still have about 5 minutes.
I want to give a testimony.
Yes.
When I was in Cuba, I gave a testimony, and the guy from TBN did a show on me, and it was a pastor, and he said, look, I never gave this testimony, but I'm going to give it. And just like now, they were going like 5, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, and he goes, look, there was a lady where I lived, and she was an illiterate. She didn't know how to read or write, and she heard the message of Christ through the radio, and she went to the pastor, told the pastor, hey, I want a Bible. He goes, why? Everybody knows you're literate. He goes, yeah, but I heard the word of God. And the little, you know, she convinced her, she gave the word of God, and every day she would pass the word, her hands through the word of God, and eventually they stole the Bible from her because she went to buy some groceries, and she started crying and crying. And one day the guy that stole the Bible would rip the pages and throw in the garbage each day. And one time he went to throw it, and it said Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and he accepted Jesus Christ as he was reading it. And he said, look, here you got a drug kingpin, you got a mother to pray for him, and I'm gonna let you know, I've been preaching for 53 years. I was that young boy that stole the Bible from that illiterate lady, and through her prayers, I've been a pastor for 53 years.
That's amazing. And you're in different jails, and you're preaching through the week, as you told me.
Yeah, every Thursday at Sago Palm Rienti in Pahokee. I'm a chaplain there.
Well, and your good friend, I'm sure, is listening to us, and we have to give a plug over to Hulk Hogan, his manager.
Yeah,
is
Ron Howard.
Yes, Ron Howard.
And Keith Walker's also.
Keith Walker.
And all my friends from Facebook and my family members. And
what would you like to say to your wife live on the air?
I love you. You're the best thing that happened to my life at this time.
That's beautiful. I'll tell you, it is very, you can just feel the Spirit of God in here, and may God give you all the glory and honor in your life, and pray and watch things happen.
And to Dolly, I remember when we were kids, our favorite song was on Wishing at a Star and the Shylights. I thought I had her in the palm of my hands. Thank God you God brought you to my life.
Well, we want to take you sailing, and we want to, when you come back, you're more than welcome to be a guest anytime. We'll do a special. I'd like to try to get an afternoon show. You know, okay. I'm waiting for my station owner to call me, and probably go in the afternoon as well. So I'd like you to come back and talk about more of your book, and hopefully Ron can come over.
Yes, yes.
And be with us.
Well, he didn't come because they got Hulk Maniac today. I mean, this week on Friday and Saturday at the Hulk Hogan shop over here at Clearwater.
Right.
So he didn't come because of that.
Right. So we'll pop over there. And do you have to make a reservation for that?
I don't know. I know it's going to be booked because he's going to be signing all that. Hulk Hogan's going to be there Friday and Saturday.
Wow. Well, it has been a blessing to have you here. And just any last words of encouragement that, you know, give your website, give your phone number.
Phone number is 786-693-0926. 786-693-0926. And the book has an email. The email is ForThisReason722@gmail.com. ForThisReason722@gmail.com.
There you go. And I'm so blessed. I have to let everybody know that's listening. I've been nominated for the International Christian Film Festival for Best Talk Show Host and Best Talk Show. And this is the third year that we were actually nominated for both.
Wow.
And so we'll be there. And there's so many amazing stars. It's like the Golden Globe Awards. And they are looking for volunteers in Orlando. It's the International Christian Film Festival. And I'll tell you, your story definitely should be submitted for a feature film and what you're doing. And I know that you're planning maybe to go to the Christian Film Festival.
Yeah. Yes, I'll be there.
Super cool. And have you met Marty Jean yet?
No.
He's the owner of, one of the directors and owner of the International Christian Film Festival. And I'll tell you, and we've had some great interviews. Thank you, Renee Leon. Thank you for Carrie K. Davis for interviewing. Their interviews will be up as well.
And thank God for allowing us to glorify his name in the midst of everything.
Exactly. And I'll tell you, people will say, why are things happening to that person? Why are they happening? Because you've got God in your life. And we're going to have you come back and talk about some other things if God is not in your life and you are reading Tarot cards or you're doing stuff like that and you're in that darkness of the world, and people will know how to turn their life over.
Okay.
And it's important because I'll tell you, my mom always said that to me, you know where you're going when people say, you make you the head, not the tail. Well, I'm Dawn Reese, Hollywood Connections. We'll see you next week. We've got another amazing guest, and we're so excited that we have Dr. Shiva.
Wow. WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.